Story time. The time during the week where we talk about what happened during our campaign. Our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
So this week for story time, we are returning to the story of the Salarian Islands. We got in a little bit of trouble, if you remember last time with story time. Our whole group, except for Howie, Choo-Choo, as I like to call him, as Magaloth likes to call him, got captured.
And we actually have Chewie here this week.
Choo-Choo's here with us.
So say hi, Tyler, my former roommate in college who plays Howie Choo-Chip. Say hello.
Hi, this is Tyler, Chris's former roommate in college who plays Howie Choo-Chip.
Awesome. Thanks for that.
So everybody got arrested. We got thrown into jail by the Salarian Knights, who we learned are jerks and really powerful jerks. And we were being framed for basically being part of this cult that had started a lot of trouble around town. And so then while we were in jail, a friendly face pops in. It's Choo-Choo's face. He has one of the masks of one of the cultists, which it's just like, all right, well, I guess you gotta want to get caught more. What'd you do? And we all met up at the bounty list and joined up with them. And basically, we were framed as being part of this cult, and now we're kind of part of the people who we were framed as being part of. So
Right. It's a very interesting turn of events for you guys. Yeah. And so you guys kind of spent your day like getting ready. You knew that you had to go back and talk to Javeris again because Dindis said, hey, he probably knows more than what he was letting on. And so you guys slept that night, woke up the next morning, and there was a very interesting way that the bounty list decides to transport people so that they're not detected on the open water. And Tyler, what type of way were the people of the bounty list transported from island to island?
Well, I mean, the easiest way to describe it is it's a primitive submarine.
Yeah.
It's what I ran into first whenever I jumped overboard and didn't get put in prison.
Yep, that's what you saw. That's how you knew to swim towards where this thing came from. That's where you met up with this cultist group. That's how you knew to get to free your people, and now it's all coming full circle for you again.
Correct, yeah. So basically, it's this primitive submarine, big metal tube. I'm sure Chris can elaborate more on the exact specifics of it.
Yeah, it's glass window. You guys know that it's got this chamber that fills up. It then shoots out into the water and sails pretty much undetected unless somebody's out swimming and looks down and sees this thing. But even then, people are like, no, that's not true. It's more of a myth and a legend and things like that. It was probably a big fish or something like that. But this caused a little bit of an issue, knowing that that was the way that you had to transport yourselves to the next island. Magaloth or Bors didn't necessarily think that this was the safest or smartest way to transport yourself. So Mitch, talk about that a little bit.
Well, I remember just having this moment at the table like, wait, hold on. The dumb guy in the group is the only one that's questioning this technology, and I don't even think we'd use the word technology because of the setting we're in, but this technology that nobody's ever seen before. And I remember that he was just like, I'm not getting on in this thing. And so I remember Solas, my companion, my friend came up and he's trying to explain this to me with, oh, it's magic. You don't have to worry about it. And I'm asking, well, what the heck is it? Like, and of course, there's a language barrier for everybody else because Solas and me are the only ones who speak my native tongue of giant. And I remember he's trying to explain what this thing does. And so Magaloth just asks him, so it's a ship that sinks, yes? And he's like, well, yeah, kinda. And that was it. I was like, no, that's suicide. When you're on a sinking ship, you drown. I'm not doing that.
Having explained it as a ship that floats through the water, Magaloth was just like, I know I drop big things into water. They just sink. This is such a stupid, stupid idea. And it was really interesting, yeah, the fact that Magaloth, the one with like an 8 or 5 intelligence, is the only one that even questioned this. When nobody has seen this technology before in this world, they were all like, yeah, just let's go. This sounds fun. Let's just get going already, you know?
So with the language barrier, there's like this whole like confusing arguments all going on. And basically we split the party, which of course is my fault. Always is.
Always is.
even though I'm the one who's being reasonable as a stupid character. But so we split the party because Maglev will not get on a ship to go to his death. That's not something he's going to do. He's not going to sink and drown. And so Solas, of course, stays with him. And in an interesting turn of events, Jared's character, Caesar, decides to stay with him. And we decide we're going to find another way. And we know it's going to be a lot longer of a way, because a lot longer time anyway because this sub, or whatever, what are they calling it in this world?
The underwater transports, that's what they call it.
The underwater transport. It's going to make this trip like in a day, and now we have to go and find a ship, which is going to take us time to travel, and then the ship is going to go a lot slower. So Howie and Hanta decide to get on the sub. And they go over, and they're basically waiting for us on the Isle of Vereus. So they got there a lot earlier than we did.
Yeah, and so you guys had to find a different way to get there. And you guys went and talked to Dindus and said, hey, is there anybody that you know that might be willing to help us out? And he said, well, it'd be really stupid to try and find somebody in the city of Mortondale where all of this stuff went down. Like, you won't get out of this city without being captured or possibly killed on the spot again. So he sent you to his friend Dorlick, which you guys had quite a bit of fun with, calling him Dorlicker and things like that.
Yeah.
Yep. And so he is a dragonborn that's in the city of Tarboro, which is 2 days' walk to the south of where you are. So you guys head down there. He gives you a little bit of gold. You get down there, talk to Dorlick. I think there was...
I like to think that this city was under pretty high watch, but I like to think that Solas and Maglath's time as a bounty hunter, having to find people who are on the run, help them to be able to sneak out and kind of gained that skill a little bit better.
Yeah, and sneaking back into another city that's on the same island.
Yes, so, exactly.
I mean, there was jokes about you guys dressing up in a horse suit and things like that.
Well, it's so funny because what we realized is that every character in the group, every single one of them, has some sort of disguise magic.
Except for Maglev.
Yep. He has nothing.
So we decided that you were going to dress up as a horse in a very crude makeshift suit of some kind, which is really funny. So you guys made it down there. You talk with Dorlick. He's more than willing to help you out for the right price, of course. And so luckily Dindus knew this. He knew you guys were penniless. He knew you had no money to your name because it literally all got taken away. So he gave you some money. You guys were able to persuade him down a little bit in cost, so you had a little bit more for yourself. But you couldn't just get on the ship. You couldn't just stand on the deck and sail out of the ship. So Mitch, why couldn't you guys just stand on the deck of the ship?
Well, we're wanted, and so there still are checks of the ships going and leaving port. And so what Dorlicker, as I like to call him, had us do was he had the Han Solo Millennium Falcon smugglers under the deck, like little hold. And so we all jumped in there. It was a very tight fit. And we're trying to be quiet as these guards are coming onto the ship, checking it out, making sure there's no potential stowaways who are wanted by the law.
Convenient enough that you guys are those type of people. And so you're hiding. You're hiding in between the main deck and the lower deck, and you hear them start coming down. Like, Dorlick is guiding them through the ship, showing them where, you know, everything is, giving them, you know, everything they need to do. And I think one of you failed really, really, like, miserably.
It might have been me this time.
I think it was you this time. And we joked, like, it's like that thing you're trying to hide really, really, like, really well. And all of a sudden you get blasted with some dust in your face. And it's like that one little, like, achoo, that comes out. And they're like, what was that? Who was that? Not even thinking that, like, there's other people on the deck that it very easily could have been. But they heard it come from, like, right above them. And so you hear Dorlick kind of put on the charm, we'll say, and he starts talking with them and persuading them to not look where they heard that sound come from. And you hear some money exchange hands, and you hear Dorlick then say, well, we'll show you the rest of the ship. And you hear them walk away, come back, and they end up leaving the ship. And he comes back down about 2 hours later after you get out of port and says the coast is all clear. So you guys had this moment where it's like, luckily you had given him some gold. He knew that you were a part of the bounty list. He's not a part of the bounty list. But he has friends in the bounty list, and he knows that he needs to watch out for his friends and friends of his friends and things like that. So he took care of you despite your best efforts, Maglath, to ruin your chances of getting out of the port with a small little sneeze. So you guys end up making it to the city of Olako. You make your way to Mount Valo, but Howie and Hanta had gotten there first. Yep. And so some very interesting things happened because Howie and Hanta got there first and took the underwater transport. So we make our way to the base of Mount Valo. We've said before there's these vents with this green gas coming out of the ground that causes people to hallucinate. Howie has tried it once before, and he decided to try it again. And Howie, Tyler, what happened when you decided to try it again?
Well, we got there, me and Hanta, and we tried to talk to the leader, and of course, he can't tell us anything without the rest of the group being there, so we decided to pass our time by enjoying the natural goods around us. You know, the local recreation, and we do it. And next thing we know, we see these monstrous, distorted versions of our friends coming towards us, and we react accordingly.
Yeah.
As you should with monsters coming towards you, and so Howie and Hanta are on these hallucinogenic steam vent things, whatever they are, see these distortions of their friends, and you guys are all normal, like nothing has happened to you, but Howie decides to do something when you're coming up close to the group.
Yeah, Hanta and I, we decide to run, so we go hide in a tent. Of course, they see where we went, so they just walk right up to the tent, you know, not respecting our chance of runaway.
And so you just see these monsters chasing after you because they're your friends just trying to say hi, and you think they're out to, like, kill you.
Well, some of us were out to say
yes,
hi.
Yes, some of you were out to say hi.
Maglath remembered that Hanta and Howie had gotten on a sinking ship. So, of course, they died. And he threw rocks in the water to symbolize, like, farewell, you're dead. This is a send-off that his people do. And so he saw them, and of course, because they were dead. Yes. These were obviously ghosts. Yes. So that's what right. He was thinking. Maglath's pretty superstitious.
And so Maglath kind of starts freaking out a little bit. And what is...
He's pulled out his hammer because he doesn't know if these are ghosts that are vengeful spirits, perhaps.
And so Howie sees this crazy, monstrous creature pulling out this even more distorted and sickly-looking hammer. And what does Howie do at that point in time?
I believe the spell is called Thunder Wave or something like that, but it's basically a shock, big old shock wave that knocks everything away from me, including, yes, like, everything, including Hanta, my buddy, who was, you know, enjoying the steam vents with me.
And this is not the first time Howie has cast Thunder Wave on this group either.
No, it's not the first time.
Nope. And so Maglath, once again, seeing his good buddy Hound go down.
Yeah. Stinking Choo Choo, every time he does this spell, is attempting to kill Hound. Every time, he's almost killed Hound. And so that, of course, as a barbarian, sends me into rage. And I have decided now, verily, these are vengeful spirits.
Because they tried to kill, yes, because they tried to kill you, or they tried to kill Hound. And so, you guys, this is the first of many time since then that you guys inter-party fought, but I think for the most part it was not because people had things against other people. It was something that was very much a part of the story. Like, you guys were playing your characters accordingly, which anytime there's inter-party conflict like that, if people aren't mature enough to handle it, it can spiral out of control really quickly. But I thought this was a ton of fun to watch unfold as a DM. And seeing you guys fight inner party and realizing I don't have to step in to try and control this at all. I'm just going to let it happen because this is amazing. Like, this is great story that you guys are going to be able to look back at and see that, like, inner party fighting happened. And it was hilarious and great. All because you guys decided to try recreational steam vents.
Yep.
Who would have figured?
Good times.
So eventually, I think Maglath just eventually ended up knocking both you and Hanta out, because Hanta starts freaking out too because he sees you guys as these monstrosities coming towards him. And so, well, you guys finally
actually
make your way.
The proper course of events was something along the lines of I did, like, that shockwave move, and then I turned invisible, of course, because, you know, survival
that's right.
is my most important thing. And then poor Hanta tries to use color spray or something and ends up getting pummeled and knocked out.
Yeah, he just got destroyed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're invisible. Maglath has no idea where you guys went, and you just decide to make your way to go and talk to Javeris Farah.
I have a question. I have a question for Mitch. At what point during that week did you figure out, or did, I guess, your character figure out that Howie and Hanta were not ghosts?
Oh, yeah. Once I brought my hammer down on Hanta, and Hanta went unconscious and was bleeding on the ground. And it was like this, like, huh? Oh. Oh. Ghosts don't bleed. Yeah. So it started to, it didn't start to make sense to him. He just became more and more confused at it, but he knew that ghosts don't bleed. So yeah,
started figuring it out.
Started figuring, yeah, I guess figuring it out. Figure out that you weren't ghosts, but yeah. I think he still attacked Chuchu after that, though.
Kind of skipped but over Chuchu that. Well,
Chuchu keeps on knocking Hound into near-death mode, so...
Chuchu also went invisible, so that also kind
that's
of made
true,
his
that's true.
You know, defenses not lower against him being
that's true.
A ghost.
Maglath does not like that spell. He keeps getting mad. That Chuchu keeps disappearing.
So you guys walk in to the tent. You see him. He's like, what in the world is going on? He sees Maglath with all this color spray all over him. He sees Hanta knocked out on somebody's back, or somebody's carrying him or something, and he doesn't see Howie anywhere. And so the group kind of explains to him, like, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. Can you give us more information that we're looking for? You know, we know that you were not completely truthful with us. And so he's like, yeah, I will take you to the temple made of lava is what they call it. It used to be, or you guys get there, and he explains to you this used to be like the equivalent of like a national park, if you will, on this island. Like it has this memorial to the great warriors that helped defeat the demons that invaded this island. Not invaded, but like tried to overtake this island many, many years ago. There were these weapons that were hanging on the walls. Eventually, one of the weapons went missing, which you think had something to do. He explains like that was why the Amber Dictator was attacked, because they think that that weapon was on there. He explains that there were six other weapons that were used to defeat the demons that had been made out of the rock that comes out of the volcano during its eruption. And he says all of these things started going missing, and then eventually this place that was once an image of hope for the Salarian Islands was closed nearly like 15 years ago by Harlan Planer, the same guy that has been trying to frame you guys for the cult of the volcano. And so you're kind of starting to put these pieces together of like, okay, who's behind this? Who is this Harlan Planer guy? Why is he doing all of this stuff? And you realize that he's behind even more than what you think he was originally behind. And so Javeris tells you to go one step further. He says there's one person that is rumored to know where some of these weapons were, because some of her friends were the heroes or the people that fought against the demons originally. And he says you have to go see Ashtar Vesh once again. And so then you guys went back. Some of you took the underwater transport. Some of you didn't. Some of you had to be put on the ship. You knew that you would be investigated when you got back to a port again, so you kind of just jumped overboard when you got close enough to where Ashtar Vesh was, and you guys made your way to go and see her. And what did you guys find when you showed up to her place of residence?
Well, her house was on fire, if I remember right. There was a pile of dead guards, and yeah, her skeletons were helping her to pick up the rubble.
Yeah, her six skeleton friends that she had said before, like she knew them all, were like stomping out ashes and trying to move things around. And these were the same skeletons that you guys were attacked by before when you first went and saw her. And she has some very interesting information to give you about what's really going on here and why you guys might have been potentially framed as being a part of the cult of the volcano. And so she takes you to like a secret trap door amongst the rubble, takes you downstairs. And what do you guys see inside the room that she takes you
in? She put the stuff in there and the ashes came out, and then they came beside it. Like, we each had a fiery form appear beside us. And Ashtar, I think, proceeded to tell us that that was our past selves, or we are reincarnated versions of these great warriors that helped fight to fight Alzog in the past, however long ago that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, so yeah, she takes out like these six small items. You didn't necessarily see what they were. She lights them on fire and puts them in this basin. And yeah, these like little ash flakes come out of the flames, and then they land next to you and form into what each of you used to look like when you were the heroes that were a part of the original battle for the Salarian Islands. And so some of you had very mixed emotions about that. Like, oh, this is weird. Didn't know reincarnation was a thing. I think Caleb even asked, like, is reincarnation something that people would necessarily, would they like think this is a normal thing on the Salarian Islands? And I said, yeah, it's, you don't ever remember anything from your past life, but people don't discredit the theory that it's a possibility. But Ashtar kind of put some meat to that theory for you guys and showing you, like, this is who you were in your past life. This is your duty once again to take up the helm and to defend against whatever Harlan Planer is trying to do against these islands. And so she gives you a quest. She says there's six pairs of items out there that you guys have to go and find so that you can once again fight these demons that come up from the islands. And so where did she send you guys, and what items were you looking for the first adventure she sent you out?
The first trip, we were heading to Pohi, which is the island that Howie Chuchip and the two Camilos come from. We were looking for a pair of daggers, if I remember correctly.
Yep, you guys had to go to this place called the Twin Peaks. It's two random mountains that just spring up out of the middle of the forest. A lot of legends around them, a lot of terrible stories about people going and looking for things and not coming back come from this island. And so it's very interesting that you guys are being sent to this very mysterious and dangerous island to find some weapons. And she says, I can't tell you where all six of them are because I can't have you being caught and knowing where all of these things are, because that would be a very terrible thing for these weapons to fall into the wrong hands, a.k.a. Harlan Planer. And so that's where we left off for this week. We left off with you guys being told you have to go to the Twin Peaks, find these daggers, and then you will be given your next quest to find out which items you have to go after that. So
sounds like a lodge. Are we going to the lodge? Twin Peaks Lodge. Sounds nice.
I don't know. You'll find out. You will find out if you are going to a lodge. You might be. That's what we have for you this week on the Adventures of the Salarian Island. We hope that you come back in a couple weeks for our next story time. And until then, continue listening, and we will see you then.
Thanks for listening to this week's story time. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters and what they have done within our world. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Storytime.